Just a quick reminder, if you haven't listened to the previous episode, make sure you do, since up next, that story will be part of this episode's conversation. All right, enjoy the show. Here on Counting on Us, I get the opportunity to share the stories of those who have found the hope to push forward and overcome the challenges of their lives, like gaining independence, building a family, and healing from trauma. But how universal are their stories, and what are the threads that connect them with other ACH clients? And what does ACH's team of caregivers and professionals really want you to take away from their stories? I get help unpacking these questions from the members of the community ACH serves and directly from those whose mission it is to help them. On today's episode, my conversation with Jeremiah Holland and Thad McCall about a recent story shared on the podcast. I'm Daniel Trevino, and you're listening to Counting on Us, a podcast presented by ACH Child and Family Services. Previously on episode 11, Alex shared her journey from homelessness to financial independence. For years, Alex suffered from housing instability and the burden of taking on the full responsibility of caring for her five younger brothers. So by the time she arrived at ACH's Morris program, Alex struggled with advocating for herself and setting boundaries with others. The next few years, Alex grew to trust the guidance of ACH's team of caregivers and receive support whenever she experienced a crisis. Thanks to the safety net provided by Morris and later ACH's Life Project, Alex was granted the opportunity to learn, grow, and heal. My first guest is 19-year-old Jeremiah Holland, who never really had a room or bed of his own, and much of his childhood was spent constantly moving from one apartment to the next with his mother. When he was 16, Jeremiah's mother moved them to the south of Dallas. But soon, the stress of living in a dangerous neighborhood and the constant arguments with his mother caused him to run away to his grandmother's house in Fort Worth. Over the next year or so, Jeremiah would move four times, bouncing from one family member's house to the next, always sleeping on couches or the floor, while also doing his best to graduate from high school. Welcome, Jeremiah, to Counting on Us.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. What's hard about not having your own room?
Privacy, man. No privacy, man. Like, you could be on the phone with somebody, loud stuff in the back room.
And you're a teenage guy.
Right.
Like, you need your own space.
Right.
Yeah. And then, I guess, in all these times, like, I don't know. Yeah, it sucks.
But I got used to it, though, because I've been going through it my whole life, so.
I get that. I had a period when I moved to Austin. When I first moved down there, I was living in the living room. And I did that for a year just to save money. And then when I finally moved in with my best friend, I got a door, like in my own room. I call it the door. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was like so happy to have that door.
Right.
And I just appreciated it so much.
Yeah.
So you're like sleeping on couches and stuff. In terms of months, how long were you with your grandma?
Maybe like 2 or 3 months.
2, 3 months. And then you moved with your aunt. And how many months were you there?
Maybe like 5, 6.
Okay, not even a year. Okay, and what was that like?
It was cool. I mean, I was still sleeping on the couch again. But eventually I had got kicked out of their house too, because once I finished school, I decided that I was trying to like think about if I wanted to move in with my cousin or not. And then like my other uncle had ended up moving in with them. So basically I had got forced out of their house too.
And your cousin, they have their own place.
Mm-hmm. But my cousin also had a daughter too. So I was still sleeping on the couch.
Mm-hmm. I guess during all this time, like, did no one bring or even think about like bringing CPS, like get you in the system?
No.
No. Why not?
I mean, I guess it was kind of normal to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And again, during all of this moving around, are you in contact with your mother?
No. Like, I had her blocked on everything. Like my grandmother and stuff, she would, like, try to get me to, like, contact her. But I just didn't want to be involved with her anymore.
Okay, so what happens next? How do you end up leaving your cousin's place?
So, like, my cousin, she was, like, kind of, like, working out of town. So eventually it got to the point where, like, I guess she kind of, like, didn't trust me to be there by myself. So she had ended up, and I didn't have a key to the house. So she had ended up going out of town for, like a long period of time, maybe, like, 2-3 weeks. And I would, like, basically have nowhere to go, like, at that time. So I was staying with, like, my friend at a dorm at Texas Wesleyan.
Mm-hmm.
I was staying at the dorm in, like, one of their, like, it was, like, a room that, like, nobody was using. I was staying there.
But she didn't leave you a key.
Uh-huh.
And so she leaves. What did she expect was going to happen? Like, did she not talk to you?
I mean, yeah, she was talking to me. She basically just was, like, telling me to find somewhere to stay, basically.
So that was the way of getting you to leave?
Yeah, kind of.
But just not, like, really sitting you down and, like, okay, what's your plan?
All right.
And what were your thoughts about that?
I mean, at that point, I was just, like, kind of thinking to myself, like, I was just going to save, like, stay at the dorm for a little while, save, like, end up trying to get my own place.
And when did that situation end?
Oh, when I heard about ACH. Okay. So, like, I remember I would play basketball a lot of time. And there was, like, Arthur, you know Arthur? And I had met him, like, at the basketball court. And, like, we was talking, and I told him, like, about my situation. And, like, he had told me about ACH. And so I had ended up, like, putting the application and everything. And I ended up hearing from Mr. Nick.
Oh, okay, cool. So that's so great. Yeah, Arthur's such a great ambassador. His story is featured in episode 2. So, you know, he also came from an interesting story as well.
Right.
How has, you know, that friendship added to your life?
Man, it's been he's like the greatest person, man. He's like, he always like encourages me to like do better and like stay on top of myself and make sure I'm doing the right thing.
So, you share your story with Arthur, and then he tells you about ACH. He gives you the application, and then you get accepted. You arrive here. What's your first impression?
I was just happy, man. Had another room.
With the door.
With the door. Yeah. And, like, they were telling me about all the opportunities and, like, how I could save and, like, a lot of guidance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's now talk about Alex Ramirez's story, which was, like I shared with you, her story in episode 11. Mm-hmm. So what challenges of hers did you relate with?
I want to say, like, the one that connected with me the most was, like, maybe, like, her car situation. Yeah, I seen she was talking about, like, her first time buying a car. You know, the people were saying, like they had, like, a sob story and everything, and she ended up falling for the sob story and got scammed and everything. I kind of had, like, a similar situation buying my first car because, like, I didn't know anything about cars, and, like, me being, like, young and, like, being on my own, like, I was used to doing everything by myself. So, like, I had ended up buying, like, a car, and, like, me not knowing anything about cars, they just, like, they sold me a messed up car. Like, the transmission was bad.
It was a clunker?
Yeah.
How did you first learn about the car?
Like, online.
Okay. And when you were considering it, did you mention that with, like, the Life Project mentors?
Nah, I told them that I was going to get a car and, like, I wanted a cash car and everything. But, like, me being so used to, like, doing everything on my own, I wasn't, like, I'm open now, but, like, I wasn't open. It was, like, back when I first joined the Life Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you first got here. And so when
you realize that that car was a clunker, you know, what were the thoughts of the life mentors? Like, how did they help you, guide you during that crisis?
Basically, like, Mr. Thad, he just told me to, like, sell it and, like, and save again. Because, like, I bought it for, like, $1,700, but when I sold it again, only ended up getting, like, $1,000 for it.
Yeah, when I talk about with the Life Project clients, Mr. Thad always comes up. Can you kind of tell me about that relationship and how he kind of helps you in different things?
He's a great mentor. Now, recently, he's, like, helping me, like my cooking skills. Yeah, so, like, he's helping me, like, learn how to prepare, like, dishes and everything, healthy meals. Mm-hmm. So, like, I won't have to, like, eat out because, like, I had, like, a problem eating out all the time. So it's, like, kind of helping me save money and, like, be healthy.
Yeah. What have you learned? What dishes?
We cook, like some chicken Alfredo, like some pasta. He put, like, some vegetables in it. That was probably, like, my favorite one.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any other moments where, like, the Life Project mentors have really kind of guided you during, like, maybe a major obstacle or a crisis?
I remember I had, like, a friend that died back in Dallas. My friend, he had died, and I had told, like, Dr. Edna and Mr. Nick, and they were all, like, very supportive.
How did that death affect you?
It took, like, a big toll on me because, like, we were really close. And, like, he died from gun violence, so.
I know with Alex, the years spent being homeless really took a toll on her mental health as well. So by the time CPS got involved and removed her from her family, that trauma triggered her to hurt herself. Did you have a similar experience?
I mean, yeah, when I was homeless, I was, like, very depressed. I never got to the point where I wanted to hurt myself, but I was very, very depressed, like, because, like, I was stuck. I didn't know how I was going to turn out.
Did the counseling and therapy you received at ACH help you?
It helped a lot. Like, speaking with Dr. Edna, she, like, teaches me a lot about, like, mental health and things I could do to, like, keep myself together.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me examples?
Well, she basically just, like, when I would meet with her, she basically just tells me about ways I could, like, cope, like, other than, like, maybe going to drugs or anything, like, ways I could cope, like, playing basketball. Like, I love to play basketball. She tells me to be open about, like, going to do that more, like, when I feel a certain type of way or, like, listening to music or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our one of our previous episodes, I was speaking with Dion Robertson, and she was telling me how when, you know, our clients don't have really strong relationships growing up, it really affects the way for you to cope with, you know, life's challenges and stuff. And it kind of sounds like that's what was going on, is like, okay, because it's all you, right? This is all you this whole time. But, I mean, as much as we want to do it all on ourselves, like, you know, I understand that, but, we need people.
All right.
You know, what's that been like to have, you know, this, like, supportive people that are, like you said, really want to see you progress?
It's been great. Like, I had trouble, like, with the needing in part at first because, like, I was so used to, like, doing things on my own. But eventually I got more open to it and, like, I've grown a lot, like.
Mm-hmm. How have you grown?
As far as, like, take care of my business, like, learning new life skills and saving, I would say is a big part of it. Like, I had a big problem saving and they really got on to me about saving and everything and, like, just becoming an adult.
Is there anything else you would like to communicate with any other youth or just any last thoughts?
I would tell them not give up and don't be afraid to, like, ask for help. Like, because, like, that was a big problem I had. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, everyone needs help.
Mm-hmm. That's great. All right. Thank you, Jeremiah, for speaking with me. I can't wait to see what great things you accomplish.
All right. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Dr. Wayne Carson from ACH Child and Family Services. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Here at ACH, we know that the community is counting on us to get it right. So for over 100 years, ACH has remained true to our mission of protecting children and preserving families. Follow us on social media or visit our website, achservices.org, to learn more about what we do, how to get involved, or if you'd like to support us. Now, back to the show.
All right, let's continue the conversation. I'm here with Thad McCall. Welcome to Counting on Us.
Glad to be here.
Great. So, Thad, can you please introduce yourself and tell me more about what you do here at ACH?
Yes. I'm Thad McCall. I'm a mentor with the Life Project. We assist the program managers with bringing our clients along with their independent plan by providing the necessary connections and rapport for building the relationships that's needed to bring them along. When I say bring them along, to usher them into their adult independent living.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, what do you feel like is the main goal when you're working with these young adults?
Of course, making the connection, meeting them where they are, but making that much needed connection by getting them to trust you. Because a lot of our clients coming into the program have a lot of trust issues because of their hurt from past trauma that they've experienced prior to coming into the program.
So again, let's talk about kind of the issues our clients deal with. So how does housing instability or homelessness have an effect on the development of our clients?
So it takes away, it robs them really of a lot of their youth, because their focus have been shifted. You know, they're going into survival mode when,
yes.
When really during that span of time, you know, the normal way of life for someone their age would be enjoying their high school experiences. And, but now they have to worry about staying safe, you know, not having caregivers to keep them safe, so that they can focus on those things that kids would, at their age, would be doing at that time.
Yeah, if you're in survival mode, you're concerned for your own safety, right? And so you take on all of that responsibility.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, the child is almost, in some cases, they become parentified, you know? And like you said, it kind of robs them of their childhood. What's like the hardest part about gaining independence for our clients?
The responsibility piece.
Mm-hmm.
Having to be responsible and accountable for their behaviors, their actions, and taking on the role of having to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Is a very big piece. And many of them, it's problematic because we get a lot of clients that's coming into the program that's stuck at that age, adolescent age of maybe 12. So here, you know, you're trying to move, your whole goal is to move this 12-year-old who you only have 3 years with from that period of being, that mindset of being 12, mm-hmm. to a complete adult, mm-hmm. you know. And that's a huge hurdle for a lot of clients that comes into the Life Project.
All right. So let's now transition and let's talk about Alex's story. So, you know, what stood out to you?
Her resilience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Her resilience. And I find since I've been doing this work, what amazes me is the resilience of a lot of these young adults that come into the program. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that they're still alive, the fact that they're still getting up and trying, you know. And one of the things that I love about this program, that we provide the safety net for them to error.
Yes. You know, yes.
For them to make the errors and be that boost to boost them back up to try again.
Yes, I know. And Alex is, she had that safety net when at that time she was at the Morris program, and she had a mental health crisis, and luckily she had been getting, you know, therapy and getting, you know, resources to learn how to advocate for herself. So when she's having this mental health crisis, she was able to ask for help. And, you know, she checked herself in to the hospital. And, yeah, so what is that like, you know, trying to transition clients to start asking for help?
That's one of the areas that that's a work in progress, because it's hard to, how do I want to say?
It's like a habit that they have, or
it's a habit, and it was a word that I'm looking for, and I just use it on autopilot.
Oh yes, mm-hmm.
On autopilot, you know. To whereas this is the mode of operation, this is their norm, and so we are trying to disrupt a norm that they've gotten comfortable with. And encourage them to let them know that you don't have to no longer do it on your own.
Yes.
You have the support around you to help you along your journey. And that's where the connection is important.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that, the connection where they're trusting you to a point to allow you to come in and provide that support.
Yeah. And another similarity between both Jeremiah and Alex's story is when they have to get a car.
And oh my goodness.
I know you, as a life mentor, deal with that a lot with a lot of our clients.
Yes, yes, yes.
And like Jeremiah, he purchased this car, but just like with Alex, it was a scam. And again, they decided, well, let me do it on my own. And Jeremiah, he said he brought that car here, and then it didn't run anymore. And that's when he mentioned you about, he's like, he asked you, okay, what do I do now with this clunker of a car? Like, do you remember that?
Absolutely, that I do. I can say we provide plethora of resources, and also we have life skills that we are constantly teaching on how to go about purchasing a car, what that's involved, what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But even with doing that, again, what we are battling is what we were talking about earlier, how the Jeremiahs and the Alex, how they come in already on autopilot of doing things on their own, not being able to ask for that assistance. Mm-hmm. So they take these large risks.
Yeah, but like again, the Life Project was here as a safety net. And even talking with Jeremiah, it did teach him that, okay, when it comes to this situation with buying a car, he does need help. He does need help. So I'm like, okay, he got the lesson. And it's kind of confusing, you know, it's about, you know, this whole program is about gaining independence, but gaining independence doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it all by yourself.
Absolutely.
And, I think that's really hard, even as adults, for us to learn that. And I'm kind of learning this by making this podcast. And because, you know, it's okay to receive help, you know, when it's needed.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing about Jeremiah, he's very introverted. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. And with his personality, he operates under the radar.
Yeah.
But one of my go-tos is my playful engagement. So if I can't make my connection one way, it's always my go-to. And I think that's where I broke the ice with Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to my playful engagement, the cooking skills, I know that he...
Chicken Alfredo? Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. I had some cooking sessions with him,
mm-hmm.
Where I showed him how to maneuver in the kitchen, and mm-hmm. told them the advantages of being able to cook meals and how he can save money and it's much healthy to eat that yes. way. And so he embraced that whole idea, and we've gotten together and cooked some meals. Yeah. And
one-on-one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a lot of one-on-one with the clients because that's the way to really start forming that relationship. And what it does, it proves to them how invested you are and how you value them. And I think that's one of the key things that our clients need to know, is that we value them and that they matter.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to be required for these young adults to be successful in this next chapter in their life?
Well, it's left up to them, and a lot of their success may very well be retroactive. So with our clients, and we've even had clients to come back that have passed through the program that may have been clients that struggled, but have come back and finally a bell have rung in their head, and mm-hmm. they now, you know, maybe they've struggled for a few years, but now they get it.
Yeah, this journey isn't linear.
Yes.
Yeah, like you said, there's ups, there's downs, and sometimes you do a loop around.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least maybe the best you can hope is that this experience will linger in their hearts and their minds. So like you said, when they, maybe if they get to that point where they want to come back and visit, it will bring up all of those lessons or those connections, and maybe they'll make a new choice.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you would like to share regarding the podcast or maybe foster care in general?
I would like to add that it's a great work. I enjoy what I'm doing, and it's just so cool being around people that pretty much have adopted your sentiments and have on the same page with the services that that's being provided here in this organization.
Yeah, we all believe in the mission of protecting children and preserving families.
Yes, the mission. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
And the core values of what we do.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Mr. Thad, for speaking with me today. And I appreciate all the great work that you do here.
Why, thank you.
And take care.
Thank you. Do the same, Daniel.
Well, that's it for this season of Counting on Us. Please don't forget to share, rate, and write a review. It makes a huge difference. I wanted to thank all of my guests who had the courage, trust, and willingness to share their stories with me and our ACH family. Your resilience in the face of adversity has demonstrated the power of the human spirit to overcome, grow, and heal, and it has truly been an honor to share your inspiring stories. I would also like to thank all ACH team members who contributed to this podcast and to the betterment of the lives of all of our clients. Thank you. And finally, I would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast and for knowing that providing safety, hope, and love to children and families is necessary if we want our community to thrive. Follow us on social media for future stories and announcements. If you would like to support ACH in its mission to protect children and preserve families, then you can donate now at achservices.org/donate, or you can find the link in the show notes. Counting on Us is a podcast presented by ACH Child and Family Services, written, edited, and produced by Daniel Trevino. Special thanks to Jeremiah Holland and Thad McCall. Mixing by Panoramic Sound. Thanks for listening.